really a remarkable accomplishment, remarkable anniversaries coming up shortly. August the 15th, 1975, that is when the first Mr. Jim's Pizza opened, 50 years ago, and they're still opening them. And the guy that opened the first one is still opening them, too, Jim Johnson, who joins us right now. He's Mr. Jim. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be talking to you again.
Well, you know, and this is just remarkable. I think back over 50 years and all the casualties along the way, especially for, you know, small businesses. I mean, how many economic cycles, how many CC's is going to knock you off, or Pizza Hut is going to come along and overwhelm you, or some new, you know, Connie Rosso is going to come along. And by golly, you just keep trucking along. That's remarkable.
Yeah, we keep looking for the new things and trying to follow the trends and figuring out what's the next new thing. And we've done pretty well.
No, you have done well. In fact, I was surprised when I was doing my research, because, I mean, I don't have to do a lot of research around here because we all know you. But, you know, you have locations in Las Vegas and Louisiana and Arkansas. This really is an expansion store. How many units are there now?
There's 49 right now.
And you're still growing it?
And we're still growing. We'll have a new one opening in the next few weeks, actually.
So what's the secret? Is it because, I mean, like I say, somebody's always stuffing crust or something. I mean, they're trying to giving twofers or whatever. Everybody's always trying to one-up everybody in your business.
Yeah, well, we try to be the local friendly shop, and we do have handmade crust, so we make it from scratch every day, handmade dough for our crust, and people tell us the crust is the difference, and that's our slogan, it's the crust. And we also put a lot of toppings on it because my franchisees aren't paying the kind of royalty that other franchisees pay. We don't pay the kind of rents. We don't even pay as much to open the store, so they can give the customers a little more food for their money. And it ends up being a better pizza for most people.
You know, I look at you have your franchisees, the owners, listed on the website, and I don't see any repetition of names, at least not very many anyway. It looks like a lot of one-offs and really sort of family organizations.
Yeah, most of them are owned by a couple or a guy. We do have a couple people with more than one. One group of guys has four, another guy has four. But mostly it is one.
So let me take you back.
We find that interaction of the customer and the owner to be real critical to the success.
Yeah, and that's what you're in a lot of small towns, and I know, I mean, in some small towns, the Dairy Queen has become, you know, the place you hang out, or if they're bigger, maybe there's an Applebee's or something like that, but where they tend to congregate. I think that's the role you're playing in a lot of these cities.
Well, we're not really a place to congregate. We're mostly just carry out delivery. Although we do have a couple stores. Our store in Vernon has sit down, and there's a couple stores that have some sit down. Keller, Texas has sit down. But mostly we're just carry out and delivery. So it's not really a hangout place, but it is the place where mom wants to feed their family.
So let me take you back to August the 15th, 1975. And the first one, I was astounded to find that it wasn't in, you know, Farmers Branch, Texas or something. It was in Taylor, Michigan?
Well, actually, that's a typo. It was in Westland, Michigan. Somebody got the word wrong in the press release. It was in Westland, Michigan, and there were 30 other pizza places within 5 miles of my restaurant when I first opened. And I came to Texas in October of 77, May of 77, and went like, oh my gosh, there's not hardly any pizza down here. So I visited in May, and by October I had a store open in Texas.
Were you looking for someplace else at the time?
Well, we're always looking. I just talked to a guy about Lufkin, Texas. So that's pretty far from Dallas.
No. But I mean, when you left Michigan, were you here on vacation, or was this, you were actually?
Yeah, I was here just on vacation. Yeah, I was not looking. But I went to the phone book. Now, the phone book, that's a big book that has a list of phone numbers in it for all the businesses.
I remember we used to prop things up on them. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I got you. Anyway, and there were like one half page for the whole Dallas-Fort Worth area, you know? Wow. So it was really an opportunity that I couldn't pass up.
Well, so talk about some of the challenges. I mentioned some of the competitors, but there must have been a lot of challenges. I mean, you've been through, you know, commodities scarce and, you know, drivers, teamsters that charged a lot to deliver goods. And I guess people that were, you know, staying home because of COVID.
Yeah. Well, the challenges are always, I mean, the first store, I misestimated what it would cost to open. And I was like days before opening and ran out of money and didn't have enough money to open. That was a challenge. And then when I first came to Texas, I told you, you know, I visited in May and we opened in October. But between there, the original site I picked out, that I had my wife living in Texas, I had my furniture on the truck going to my apartment in Texas, I had the equipment going to the new site in Texas, and the deal fell through. I had to go down and find a new location. And I remember taking a moment to be sad.
So where was the first
you just
location?
Keep going.
I don't think I remember. Where was the first location of Mr. Jim?
The first location in Texas was in Garland at 1030 West Centerville Road, right near LBJ.
My gosh, that was the home of Wingstop, I think. The beginning of a lot of great concepts started there. So tell me about the identity. I mean, you named it after yourself, so you know, if somebody's unhappy, yeah, then they know exactly who to blame. That's tough.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when I worked at McDonald's, I worked for Mr. Bob. And I thought that was cool that he had his first name as his last name. So, you know, it was friendly, but still respectful. And I went through a lot of name choices before we opened. And that one was kind of the one that people got the least grimace about. And now it's MrJims.pizza because that's our website too. So our web address and the name of our company are the same. So you type in MrJims.pizza. It's always funny when I tell people my email address, they go MrJim@MrJims.pizza.com. And I go, no, it's .pizza now.
Too confusing. So tell me about the advertising, because I see you pop up with your red suspenders, you know, on television ads from time to time. How do you decide when you advertise?
Well, we have to advertise all the time in various ways. And it used to be that it was a lot of print advertising.
Yeah.
It used to be, especially in 75 when I opened, we would put flyers on people's doors and they would respond to them. That's just not as true anymore. We still put out some mailers and flyers at times, but now we're very much into internet advertising and television advertising. We have Google ads. You can pay them to get clicks and all this, and
yeah,
we analyze it down to the penny. You can track these things. So when we sell, we get an order from Google, they tell us exactly which ad brought that order. And so we can judge our marketing really precisely. It's amazing.
So there are, from what I've learned, and correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, there are, it's a cyclical business. I mean, there are big peaks, like Halloween is a big peak. Everybody orders in or takes out or something, and the Super Bowl and things like that. So when you advertise, do you try to get your share of that business? Or are you creating business when otherwise people wouldn't necessarily order a pizza?
Yeah, we want to advertise all the time because we know on those days we don't need to advertise.
Yeah.
People are looking for pizza. So we don't really try to carve out that. We try to get those people to be loyal to us first. And then when that holiday comes, they think of us. So it's an ongoing process that we always have to be, you know, knocking on their door saying, here we are, here we are.
So speaking of knocking on your door, I would think that some competitors along the way have knocked on your door from time to time. You ever think about just throwing away the keys?
Well, there have been offers, but I still really like what I'm doing, and I have really good people. And we had a big 50th anniversary party just a couple of days ago. And it was just really cool to see all these people. I had 140 people there and all of them were involved in the business in some way. And it was just really nice to know that I'm contributing to all those people's livelihoods and helping them.
Did you serve pizza at the party?
No.
Jim Johnson is Mr. Jim and is celebrating 50 years of making pizzas and keeping a small business active. That's just remarkable. Again, congratulations. I'm in awe.
Thank you. Thank you. I wanted to make a big deal of it. I had my whole team working on it for 2 years.
Well, and it is a big deal, and we look forward to 51. Jim Johnson, our guest today. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.